Well, thank the Lord tonight for what a friend we have. And we have friends and family that we can depend upon, but there's no friend like the Lord. And we have a friend in Jesus. Tonight, turn this one of these down just a little bit. I don't know which one. Tonight I want to look at the life and some of the things about one of the most important characters of the Old Testament. I've used him a lot, and there's more much said about this man as much as probably anybody in the Old Testament, and probably as much as about anybody in the New Testament. Man by the name of Abraham. Abraham is a focal character in the Scripture. Because of Abraham, we have the nation of Israel. Because of the moving upon the Lord between Abraham and God, God gave him a miracle son by the name of Isaac. And through that lineage and through that line, we have the nation of Israel that comes into existence. And we have much of the history of Israel, at least the history that God wants us to know in His Word, found in the Old Testament. And, of course, we know the the history of Israel continues on even present day, and it will continue for the reason that God called them His people. God made Abraham a family. He made him a nation. And God told Abraham, said, out of you all the nations of this world will be blessed, and there'll be multitudes of people. Now, Abraham was a man that was like everybody else. He had his failings, he had his faults, he had his sins. And through Abraham, we also have in our world tonight many nations that are not even friendly toward Israel, as Ishmael and Isaac were not friendly toward each other. Their clans and their families, as the time went on, they certainly have been enemies and continue to be. And both of these groups came out of the loins of Abraham. And of course, we know the story. But the Scripture gives us some wonderful things to say about this great man of faith. And I want to try to put some things together that I hope will help us to enjoy some of the blessings that God gives us that we do not understand. In the New Testament, there's three times that the Scripture says that Abraham believed God. And each one of these is written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote that passage to the Romans in the book of Romans, chapter number 4. He wrote that same thing to the churches of Galatia, and as he wrote Galatians, and we have it in chapter 3 and verse number 6, and then James writes in James chapter 2 the same thing, the same phrase, that Abraham believed God. I'm going to read each one of those passages. They all say the same thing, worded just a little bit different. But in Romans chapter 4 it says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So Abraham believed God. Now, the interesting thing about Abraham, we do not have an account in the Scripture where Abraham believed God. It just says that he believed God. It doesn't give us an account of any personal experience with the Lord, though we know he had that. We do not know how that he came to know the Lord, because Abraham, when you read where he came from, and we'll look into that just a little bit, but it was a land of multi-gods, very heathenistic people, but yet there's a man that God had in his sights, and he come to the point that he believed God. So Romans says it was counted unto him for righteousness. Galatians says, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness, almost the same words. But in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 23 says, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So here three times in the New Testament, two different writers tell us that Abraham believed God. We have that stated to us in the Old Testament also. So tonight, if you would, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. This is the New Testament account of what took place in the book of Genesis. And it's sort of brought concisely down. Genesis, with the life of Abraham, covers a number of chapters. A lot of the book of Genesis is dedicated to some of the things about Abraham and Sarah and his family and his goings. But when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, of course, this is the faith chapter. It tells us, and by the way, there's more, I guess, said about Abraham and Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11 than any other individuals. And so Abraham's very important, a lot said about him. And I want us to read tonight, beginning in verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should hereafter receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and with the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and to deliver of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, and the multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they which say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall all thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Hebrews chapter 11 puts in a very concise few verses pretty much the life of Abraham, how that he started. The interesting verse there that we read at the very beginning, Abraham went out from a place. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how he was going to get there. He just knew God had told him to go where he would tell him. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis just for a moment, and we'll read some things here. In the book of Genesis, the first time that you find Abraham mentioned is in Genesis chapter number 11 and verse number 26. He is called Abram here. Later his name is changed to Abraham. In verse number 26 it says, and Terah, which is Abraham's father, lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. There's the first mention of Lot. Lot was that companion with Abraham that went out with him, followed him, and really got Abraham in trouble a lot of times. But here we find that Lot is a nephew of Abraham. And so we find that number 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now somewhere in the life of Abram, somehow, I don't know how, and I don't think anybody does, somehow God revealed himself unto Abram. And now in chapter number 12 of Genesis, he speaks to him, and he tells him, said, you get away from your land and your people, and you go to where I'll tell you to go. That's why in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. And I guess that's as great an example of faith as anywhere you can find. Faith is not blind, but faith is believing. Faith doesn't always show you the end result, but faith gives you ability to get to that end result, and then you can experience what the Lord has for you. So Abraham didn't know where he was going. He had no idea what was going to take place, but God had told him. He said, get from thy land and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. And God showed to Abraham, God led Abraham into what later on was called the land of promise, because it was promised to Abraham. God gave Abraham the dimensions. He gave him really the borders of it is very much larger than the borders of Israel today. But God told him where it started and where it ended, the east side, the west side, gave him all those things, that this is your land, and it will perpetually always be your land and your generations. And so the Lord says, I'm going to make you a great nation. The only way you can do that is to have children, and children have children, and on as it continues to grow. And he says, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, out of Abraham's family, all the earth has been blessed. Out of Abraham's family, not just the Jew, it's not just the land of Israel, but out of the land and out of the family of Abraham come none other through the generations of time than the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly all the world has been blessed because of him. So Abraham was a very special man in the history of Israel. A very special man as far as faith is concerned. As we read tonight, he's called the friend of God. Not too many people have that distinction in the scripture, and that's a wonderful thing to be able for God to say that he's a friend of God. It's one thing for a person to say, I am your friend, but it's entirely different when he says, he is my friend. And God said about Abraham, he is my friend, and he's a friend of the Lord. Abraham believed God. As we read there in the book of James, it was imputed. The word imputed means was designated to him, put on his account. The other two places says it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It means it was put on his account or his paper that he was righteous and that he had had faith. And so the Bible says there in James that this happened to fulfill Scripture. One of the great studies of the Word of God is find out how many things happen just to fulfill Scripture. I've done a little bit of it. I haven't even touched the hem of the garment as far as what the Bible says about Scripture being fulfilled. But you can be assured that when God says something in one place, it's going to be fulfilled somewhere else. And so the Bible says here to fulfill Scripture that he believed God and it was imputed or counted unto him for righteousness. The friend of God. What's the definition of a friend? Well, the Bible gives us a definition, two or three different things about being a friend. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. That's God's definition of a friend. A friend loveth at all times. That means good times. That means bad times. That means sad times. That means hard times. That means times that you don't agree. But for a real friend, and Abraham was called the friend of God, and God said, he's my friend. And then he tells us that a friend is one that loveth at all times. A person that's really a friend will love you even with your faults and even with your problems and struggles that you have. So a friend of God means he's a friend at all times. In the Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, there's another verse concerning friendship. It says, a man that hath friends, what? Must show himself friendly. If you're going to have a friend, you got to be a friend. You can be a cold, indifferent person, then wonder why nobody likes you. You can be withdrawn and not have anything to do with people, and then sit over in your corner and say, well, nobody cares about me, nobody wants. But the Bible says here, if you're going to have friends, you got to show yourself as friendly also. And so there's another part of the friendship between Abraham and God. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And of course, we know that is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, a friend is obedient to each other. The Scripture tells us in John chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So a friend is obedient to the command of God. A friend is a friend at all times. A friend is one that gives friendship and receives friendship, and it is one that is following the direction that God gives. I certainly believe that that we could say, especially in that last part, that Abraham believed God, counted to him for righteousness, because God told him, said, I want you to get away from your family, get away from your country, and go to a place that I'll show you. And the Bible says Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. What was he doing? He was following the command of God. Later on in the latter years of Abraham, when he was 100 years old and around maybe even 120 by now, when Isaac is a young man, and God says to Abraham, take Isaac, your son, your only son, and you take him to a mountain where I will show you. Again, God didn't tell him where he was going. He said, you just go and I'll show you. And again, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but he was obedient unto the Lord. He's obedient to the command of God. He was showing his friendship to the Lord. And so, as we know the story, Abraham took Isaac. He had some men with him. He said, you tarry here, and myself and my son will go on to go, and we're going to worship God, and we will come back. And Abraham knew at that moment God was telling him he was going to take him to a mountain, and there he was going to offer Isaac. Hebrews, where we read, tells us that Abraham believed that if God would allow him to sacrifice his own son, that he would raise him from the dead. And he received him in type when that ram was caught in the thicket, when that ram was caught, took the place of Isaac, that was in type a resurrection. And so Abraham has a great history with obeying the Lord. Abraham believed God. I believe that's the key to the life of Abraham. I believe that's the key to the life of every believer. Not just that we believe God, but for a particular thing, but we believe God through our life. And I believe we see that in the life of Abraham. First of all, Abraham believed God for salvation. As I said a moment ago, we don't have an account of it. We don't have a scripture telling us what it was There's some things that sort of indicate, because the Old Testament also says Abraham believed God and is accounted to him for righteousness. Now, that may have been the time when Abraham really, but I don't know how God revealed himself, because he was in a land of idolatry. He was in the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. And if you look that up and if you study a little bit about that, you'll find that it was a land full of all kind of idols, no true God. And so we find that Abraham, God revealed himself, and even though nothing is said about him turning to God, we know from his personal life, we know that he was obedient to the Lord, and God said, and God gives him multitudes of verses and chapters in the Bible, proving and showing that he believed God, that he trusted the Lord. He was from the land of the Ur, the Chaldees. It was a city that was full of, as I said a moment ago, idolatry. One of the main gods that this place had, or this city had, Ur, and one of the main gods they had was a moon god. And Abraham's father, Terah, his Hebrew root word to his name means moon. So maybe even his own family was involved in all this idolatry, but thank God Abraham believed the Lord. You find in Genesis chapter 31, later on in the life of Abraham, we find a man by the name of Laban. And this is Rachel's brother. It says in verse number 30 of Genesis 31, it says, "And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou hast sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods?" And so this is the relationship. This is the place where that Abraham came from. Jacob went back to the land from which Abraham was called. Jacob goes back to find a wife, and of course we know the story between Jacob and Rachel and Leah. We find that here's the father says, "You've stolen my gods." Well, I'm glad my God can't be stolen, aren't you? I'm glad you can't put him in a bag and can't put him in a box and carry him off somewhere. And so this is the land where Abraham came from. This is the place that Abraham resided, where God said, "Get away from your country, from your kindred, go to a land where I tell you to go." Even in the book of Joshua, Joshua talks about those on the other side of the flood. We've covered a lot of years here. We're talking about Abraham now, talking about the other side of the flood. But Joshua says in chapter 24, verse 2, Joshua said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So there's the history. There's the family of this man Abraham that God says, "I'm going to make you a blessing to all the world." It doesn't matter our background. Doesn't matter where we come from. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what the pedigree behind us is. God can change and God can make us a new creature in Christ. Thank the Lord. It's not dependent upon who we are, and not depending on what we have, but thank God for the grace of the Lord. And so here Joshua talks about Terah, Abraham's father, and he said they served other gods. So Abraham could be called the friend of God. Now Abraham couldn't be called the friend of God until he realized that he was at enmity with the world, and the world with him. He couldn't realize that he couldn't have the friendship of God till he believed God. And that's why the scripture tells us over and over again that Abraham believed God. He believed his word. He believed everything that the Lord gave to him. I believe Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees with no regrets. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 14, 15, where we read, it says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Abraham went out seeking a country. Abraham went out seeking a place. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but believing God, that God was going to give him a something that would be a blessing to him. And he never had the desire to return to where he came from. So Abraham believed God. He believed him there for salvation. He believed him for a country. He believed him. Not only did he take him out of his land, he's taking him to another land. And by the way, that land is what we call Israel tonight, or a portion of what we have. And so Abraham believed God for a country. He went out looking and seeking a country. What is a country? It's a dwelling place. It's a place where people live. It's a place where people gather. It's a land where folks of a same thought and the same mind and now and usually the same language. And so we find that Abraham went out seeking a place for his family, and he was seeking for a country. Not only that, but he believed God for that which was impossible. It was impossible, some of the things. The Bible says, Romans chapter 4, who against hope believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. We read that tonight. It's amazing how Paul brings these things together. So he's speaking here of Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. What God tells him, I'm going to make you a father of many people, of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise. We know what a stagger is. You stump your toe and you stagger. And all of us have done that. I read the other day somebody put on Facebook, said that they'd found out what the small toe was for on our feet. Is to find and to put everything back in order that's a little bit out of place when you go by and kick it. Sometimes I feel that way too. And so we find that Abraham staggered not at the promise. That means he was firm. And Paul tells us here that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I tell you what, Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted God. He said, he told me to go. There's going to be a country. He told me there'd be a family. He told me there'd be a nation. And so I'm just going. I can just imagine when Abraham left home. They said, where are you going, Abraham? I don't know where I'm going. Well, why are you leaving? Because God told me to. Well, which God? Which one of our gods told you? Oh, it wasn't those gods. It's true God. Well, but you don't know where you're going? No, I have no idea where I'm going. But God said, go, and I'm going. Same thing when he went to the mountain to offer his son. Where are you going, Abraham? I'm going to where God told me that he'd show me. And so he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You know, when we stagger, when we stumble, it's always because of our unbelief, our lack of faith, our lack of ability to believe God. But the scripture says here that Abraham staggered not. So he believed the impossible. He being 100 years old, he said, God says I'm going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a child. We're going to have a child. He staggered not. No wonder he's listed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, more verses than any other man in that chapter because of his faith. For here in Romans chapter 4, I think two or three times, it talks about his faith. Abraham is known as a great man of faith. Maybe 20, 25 years before Isaac was born, God gave him the promise. And God told, now he's almost 100 years old. Son hadn't come. One of the scriptures, we did not read it tonight, but one of the scriptures in the book of Genesis Verse 30 of chapter 11 says, but Sarai was barren. She had no child. She had no children. Abraham and Sarah had no children, but God says you're going to be a father of many nations. Abraham staggered not. And so even years before, God said you're going to have a child. Now 25, 30 years has gone by, still no child. But all of a sudden, Abraham, in his belief, God gave to them that son, Isaac. Now Abraham and Sarah, they cooked up a scheme how to, they got impatient on the Lord. And in that 20, 25, 30 year period, they decided that Abraham could have a child by Hagar, his handmaid, and that would be the child. But that wasn't the promised seed. For you see, Isaac is a type of Christ. Isaac was born by a miracle. And Isaac is the type of Christ. Ishmael is, as the Bible says, is a wild man. And buddy, they're still wild. They're still have that attitude about them. And so Abraham believed the Lord. Sometimes God doesn't move as quickly as we think he should, but Abraham never gave up on God's promise. And God said, no, it's not Ishmael. You're going to have a son. And all of a sudden it came to realization that Abraham was and Sarah were going to have a child by the name of Isaac. And of course, we know the story. So Abraham believed God for his salvation. Abraham believed God for a country. Abraham believed God for that which was impossible. And then lastly, Abraham believed God for a city. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and 10, as we read a while ago, by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, in all his sojourns, was looking for God. He was looking not only for a country to dwell, but he's looking for a city where God was the builder and God was a maker. Abraham knew that he did not belong in this world because he says, as a stranger in the land, he's just a stranger. You know what we are tonight? We're just strangers and pilgrims in this world. We're just here for a little while, but we're looking for a city. We're looking for a country. We have experienced the salvation by faith, just as Abraham come to know God just like you and I did, by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Don't ever let anybody tell you that salvation in the Old Testament happened differently than it does in the New Testament. Salvation's always been by faith and by trusting. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to a Messiah that was coming, to a promised seed. Abraham, your family is going to bless the whole world. Abraham had that faith that there would be something in his family. And he believed God. So before Christ, Old Testament, they looked forward believing that there would be a Messiah. When John the Baptist came preaching, some of them asked him, said, are you that one that's promised unto us? Are you the Messiah? And of course, John pointed them all to the Lord, and they would not receive him. So Abraham believed God for a city whose foundation and whose builder and maker is God. He was a stranger in the land. Thank God tonight we can sing that old song, this world is not my home. We're just passing through. We're just here for a little while. And God tells us, just follow me, follow my direction. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. Sometimes we don't know the way God's going to lead. Sometimes we don't know the end result of it. But the important part is, be like Abraham and to believe God. Abraham looked for the heavenly, not the earthly. God says, Abraham, your seed will be as the sand of the sea. That's earthly. Your seed is going to be innumerable. You can't count it. That's his physical seed of Abraham. That's the Jew. That's the generations of Abraham. And certainly his seed is as the sand of the sea. But God told him another thing too. He said also, not only is it the sand of the sea, but your seed shall be as the stars of the sky. That's the heavenly. That's the spiritual. And thank the Lord tonight, we're all going to heaven the same way Abraham did. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham. We are that offspring through faith by the grace of God. No city on this earth has foundations. We have a foundation. But the city of God, the New Jerusalem, has 12 foundations. Our earthly homes will soon be dissolved because they're here just for a little while. Isn't it strange how you can leave a house, leave it in perfect order, leave it clean, leave everything in order, come back in 10 years and it's disintegrated. Nobody's done anything to harm it. Nobody has disturbed anything, but it's not clean anymore. It's full of things and rodents and spiders and dust. Nobody's put it there. That's our earthly home, just unattended. Our earthly home will be dissolved. One day it'll be gone. But by the grace of God, we are looking for an eternal home called heaven. We're looking for the same city, the same place, the same country that Abraham looked. He went out not knowing where he was going. When we got saved, we didn't know where we was going. We didn't know what God was going to do with us. We didn't know how God was going to lead in our lives. We had no idea. But we just believed God. And he accounts it, he puts on our account that we are a friend of the Lord. So our earthly home may be dissolved, may be destroyed. But one day, by the grace of God, we will enter our city of which we are looking. I'm looking for a city. A lot of songs have been written about that country. A lot of songs have been written about that city. A lot of things have been said about that place. But I'm glad tonight I can say I'm going there. Why? Because one day it was imputed unto me or counted unto me for righteousness. Why? I believed God. Everybody the same thing. Praise the Lord. Abraham shows to us a man of faith that lived for God, looked for God, and served him. And he received the blessing. And I believe one of the great characters of the history of Israel is this man by the name of Abraham. All right, let's stand together tonight.